Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the TCS earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kedar Shirali. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Imba. Good evening and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss TCS's financial results for the third quarter of fiscal year 2016, ending December 31st, 2015. This call is being webcast through our website, and an archive, including the transcript, will be available on the site for the duration of this quarter. The financial statements, quarterly fact sheet, and press releases are also available on our website. Our leadership team is present on this call to discuss our results. We have with us today Mr. N. Chandrasekaran, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director.
Hello, everyone.
Mr. Rajesh Gopinathan, Chief Financial Officer.
Hi, good evening, everyone.
And Mr. Ajay Mukherjee, Head of Global Human Resources.
Hi, everyone.
Chandra and Rajesh will give a brief overview of the company's performance, followed by a Q&A session. As you are aware, we don't provide specific revenue or earnings guidance, and anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. We have outlined these risks in the second slide of the quarterly fact sheet available on our website and also which has been emailed out to those who have subscribed to our mailing list. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Chandra.
Thank you, Kedar. First, I would like to wish you all a very happy new year. Moving on to the quarter, our Q3 revenues grew by 0.5% on a sequential quarter basis in constant currency terms. In a seasonally weak quarter that had headwinds. And our revenue declines in India, Japan, and Diligenta continued. I'm happy to note, however, that all our industries and key markets of our business continued to perform well. Our international revenues grew by 1.1% on a sequential quarter basis in constant currency terms, led by North America at 1.4% and continental Europe 2.3%. Growth across the industry verticals were also quite good, led by life sciences and healthcare, which delivered a sequential growth of 4.1% in constant currency terms. All our other verticals, which grew quite well, are manufacturing 2.3%, high-tech 2%, travel and hospitality 2.9%, energy and utilities 1.6%, media and entertainment 2.5%. Our BFSI vertical had a headwind in the insurance side, and Diligenta also contributed to that drag quite sharply. In spite of that, the BFSI together as a whole delivered a 0.7% on a sequential quarter basis. Retail business typically is soft in Q3. Primarily, all our retail clients are focused on operational excellence in the holiday season and no big transformation or a discretionary project are delivered in this quarter. So the retail business delivered a small 0.3% growth on a sequential basis. The retail business also typically brings in a lot of digital business. But in spite of the holiday season slowdown in the discretionary part of the retail, our digital business remained very solid with a sequential growth of 4%. And our digital revenues constituted 13.7% of the revenue. From a service line perspective, our infrastructure, BPO, engineering, and industrial businesses did quite well. TCS is also getting a lot of traction for its digital platforms, and all our platforms, including Ion Assessment, our HR platform Chroma, TAP, TCS Accounts Payable Digital Platform, our digital merchandising platform Aptumera, our platform on Hadoop for data archival and efficiency active archive, our intelligent urban exchange, which is our smart city platform, our customer insights platform, and Ignio all saw traction and wins with customers during the quarter. And we need to wait for scaling up of these platforms with a number of wins and adoption, but there is a broad interest in each of these platforms and we are seeing traction. Our client metric has been solid. We added one more client to our 100 million client band, bringing the total to 34 compared to 25 last year at the same time. In all other client bands, whether it is 1 million or 5 million or 10 million or 20 million, we had significant additions, ending the quarter with 838 clients who contributed 1 million or more in revenues. This number is a significant jump from 764 during the same time last year. Our deal wins have been very good. We had 9 signings which are of importance, and they came 3 from banking and 1 each from insurance, manufacturing, retail, telecom, utilities and travel. From a geography wise, we had 3 wins in North America, 3 in Europe, 1 in UK and 2 in Latin America. And our digital engagement wins have been solid, and we have listed some samples in the deck for investors. TCS Banks also had a good set of wins in the quarter in Asia, South Africa, as well as in the European markets. Ignio had additional 4 wins during the quarter. So overall, it has been a very good quarter from the demand perspective. From a margin perspective, I'm happy to say in a tough quarter where the growth has been only 0.5% in constant currency terms, our operating margin is comfortably within our range, preferred range, at 26.6%, and the net income margin held same as last quarter sequentially, 22.3%. Our employee addition has been robust with a gross addition of 22,118 and a net addition of 9,071, ending the quarter at 344,691 employees. Our attrition has come down sharply. Our quarterly annualized attrition has come down from 17.3% in Q2 to 15.1% in this quarter. That's a reduction of over 200 basis points. Our utilization was down as to be expected. It is at 84.9% ex-trainees and at 80.9% including trainees. Our digital training using our digital learning exchange platform has picked up a lot of momentum in the company. We have reported that 30,000 associates have built a lot of new capabilities using the platform last quarter. That stands at 70,000 as of this quarter. Those are the main comments I would like to share with you. And I would like to now hand over to Rajesh to give a little bit more color on the financials.
Thank you, Chandra. Let me go over the headline numbers once again. Our second quarter revenue of ₹273.64 billion represents a growth of 0.7 Q on Q and 11.7 Y on Y. Revenue in dollar terms is $4.145 billion, which is a sequential decline of 0.3%. And a year-on-year growth of 5.5%. In constant currency terms, our revenue growth is 0.5% Q on Q. in terms of revenue growth build-up, our INR revenue growth of 0.7 Q-on-Q was made up of a volume growth of 0.4, a constant currency realization impact of positive 0.1%, and an exchange rate movement impact of positive 0.2%. In terms of operating margin, our operating margin this quarter was 26.6%, a Q-on-Q decline of 0.5%. Increased SG&A expenses of 0.6% were mitigated slightly by a currency benefit of 0.1%. Net income. The net income margin stayed flat Q-on-Q at 22.3% on account of higher other income and a lower effective tax rate. Our accounts receivable stood at 28 days DSO, in dollar terms flat Q-on-Q. Operating cash flow stood at 21.5% of revenue and free cash flow was 19.8% of revenue. Invested funds as of December 31st was 277.5 billion. Lastly, the board has recommended a final interim dividend of for the quarter of 5.5 rupees. With that, we can open the line for questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants are also requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Our first question is from the line of Ananta Nayaran of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Good evening, everyone, and wish everyone a happy new year. Chanda, my first question was, since we don't have the exact impact of Chennai, if you strip out the the India decline this year versus the India growth last year same quarter, was the seasonal weakness more or less the same, or was it a bit more prominent in this fiscal year?
Yeah, I think if you look at the hit this quarter, we have had multiple factors. We have had a hit in as predicted and as had been commented before. We had a hit in Diligenta. We also had a hit in Japan. But the India hit was pretty sharp. And apart from that, we've had a couple of more hits, which is the furloughs and the flood situation. But if you look at all of that have contributed. I think if your question is the weakness due to furloughs, was it higher this year than last year? Is that your question? I'm not able to gauge.
Yes, that is my question.
I think all I would say is that if you look at a volume growth perspective, we are more or less the same as last year, 0.4% and 0.4%. So there may be a bit of a difference either here or there, but I think we will be splitting hairs in trying to quantify that.
Okay. So essentially you're saying that the impact of the furloughs was the same this year?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there may be some difference, but it's not going to be a significant number that I want to quantify.
Okay. And the second, I guess it's probably a bit early to talk about outlook for next year, but just in terms of, conversations and what you see, on the ground, is it similar to what you saw last year, or are there any differences this time around?
Yeah, I think to get the full assessment, we need some more time, Ananta. But the early indications from the customers are that I've not heard anything negative. I think I've not heard that any one-off hits or anybody dropping budgets or anything like that. I've not heard any one of that. So I think at this point in time, we think it's going to be good, but we want to wait for a few more weeks till we get all the inputs and consolidate our inputs.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Divya Nagarajan of UBS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question and wish you all a happy new year. So we've continued to see YOY growth trends kind of continue to come down, and especially going into the second half of this fiscal with an already low base for the previous year. My question is, when do we see this trend kind of bottoming out and stabilizing And secondly, what is essentially causing this? Do you think we seem to be saying that demand is by and large okay? So is this base catching up? Is this a client transition phase that's going on? Could you also help us understand? It's been a fairly secular deceleration that we've seen in the last 6-8 quarters, so to speak.
Divya, I think, see, it's not that we have not had volatility in some business before. We have seen volatility in India many times in the past also. But as we had pointed out, there were three big areas in which we were having headwinds, and that is playing out. I think if you strip out and then if you see the rest of the business, especially from the key markets point of view or from the industry point of view, I think things are good. The problem is that these headwinds we have had, and we believe that Latin America has come out of the degrowth cycle, and I can't say whether it will continue to grow at the same pace, but there will be some volatility in growth rates. But I think they have come out of the degrowth cycle. And I do have one more quarter at least in Diligenta of a degrowth. And then we will have we'll have to see Japan picking up momentum. So I think those are the two things that we look for. And in my opinion, Diligenta will be either flattish or upwards once we exit Q4. Japan, I will need some more time to come back.
Got that. And just coming back to the quarter in question, you had put out an earnings release saying that there will be a material impact on Chennai. Is the final impact pretty much close to the initial impact in estimates that we had when around the time that press release was put out, or have you seen some mitigating factors come in the rest of the quarter?
I think the way to look at this quarter, it's traditionally a weak quarter, and we have had multiple headwinds. Even the hit we have had in India is more than we anticipated, because you know on such a small base, it's had a material impact in the overall constant currency growth to the extent of 60 bips. Then we have had all the other 3-4 things. So I don't want to start to analyze each one of them and then give a number here, a number there. But overall, I believe that multiple factors have contributed to an already weak quarter. And it's been a very small growth in constant currency terms of 0.5%. So from here, things should get better. Q4 should be better not only from where we stand, but also because of the seasonality, it's a better quarter. And the rate at which the Q4 will grow, how much it will deliver, will very much depend upon the ramp-ups, whether it starts early in the quarter or later in the quarter. Those discussions will take place now, as we speak now, because the customers, everybody would have come back after the vacation.
Thanks. All the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you, Divya.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankur Rudra of CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Could you, Chandra, elaborate on what your thoughts are on the demand conditions separately on BFS and insurance, excluding the impact of furloughs? Do you see the furloughs perhaps indicating a precursor to softening demand on the financial side?
See, I think if you look at our BFSA numbers, BFS is continuing to do well for us, and insurance has been muted. In fact, with Diligenta, it's having a degrowth for the last few quarters. So I think Diligenta degrowth stopping, then insurance also needs to pick up momentum. So we are seeing more softness in insurance, not on the core BFS. BFS is continuing to grow and continuing to see a lot of traction from customers. So I feel that BFS will do well going forward as well.
If I just take it one more step, I think you'd mentioned perhaps last quarter, the quarter before, that insurance services had begun to stabilize. Does that still hold?
Yes.
Outside of Diligenta?
Yes.
Okay. And just the second point, you know, we continue to hear a lot of, noise from competition suggesting there's a lot of aggressive pricing going on. The question one sees, one sort of thinks about, especially when, you know, a bit of secular growth slowdown at your end versus peers, is are you leaving business on the table because of sort of trying to maintain margins when everybody else is operating at much lower margins?
No, Ankur. We have proved for multiple years that we can deliver growth with a margin that we continue to hold, and I don't think that we are losing because of inflexibility in any form. Having said that, our focus is to make sure that we pick the right deals. There are deals with some conditions which may not be acceptable sometimes. Sometimes the structure of the deal is not acceptable to us because we think that we may not be able to execute those kind of deals. So those are the risks that play out. It is not any inflexibility. And I and my team are pretty much conscious of the fact that both growth and margin are like two eyes. Both are very important for good business. And we never like to think that we blindly have to sacrifice one. So we are not rigid on those fronts. But having said that, we got to make sure that we pick the deals a way that we can execute.
Understand. Thank you very much, and best of luck.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sandeep Mutangi of IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to press a bit further on the pricing situation, Chandra. Are there any verticals or service lines specifically where you think the pricing situation has worsened, especially running into the quarter?
Sandeep, the way to look at it is that there will always be deal where somebody is bidding irrationally. That is not, you cannot extrapolate it. There may be reasons that somebody is bidding irrationally. So if it becomes extreme level of irrationalization, then you need to know where you stop. I think in any negotiation that is true, whether it is in IT services or anywhere else. So while it's okay to be flexible, it is not okay to be rational. So those situations, if it happens, then you know you have to take a call as you deem appropriate for your company. From the pricing pressure point of view, I mean, you always get one-off deals like that where these kind of situations come. But I can't just say that specifically in this quarter it has gotten worse or anything like that. That's a normal thing, Sandeep.
Right. So I think it's fair to understand from your comments that you're not calling it out as a trend to be a big worry to look out for in the future.
No. I agree with you. I agree with that statement.
Okay. Thanks. Second question is on the package implementation business, Chandra. We've had a couple of weak quarters, and I'm especially referring back to a comment that you made some time ago in last year's beginning when you said that this business seems to be having a lot of transformational deals and even the Salesforce business was picking up. But suddenly after second quarter of last year, you know, this business hasn't been growing much. I wanted to get some color on what's been happening in the package implementation side.
I think still there are a lot of deals in the in Salesforce, and our business between SAP and Oracle have been doing well. But you know, in one quarter we see some traction in SAP, another quarter we have seen traction in Oracle. But our package implementation business has multiple product lines apart from SAP, Oracle, and Salesforce. There are a number of other products also we are doing it. But overall, I think in the package implementation that is based on cloud, there is going to be a lot of traction. So it will not be standalone package implementation. It will be more cloud-based. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Salesforce is very close to cloud-based, but even in other product lines, as long as they are cloud-based, you will see a lot of traction going forward.
Okay. Thanks for that comment, Chandra. All the best for the year ahead.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sandeep Agarwal of Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Happy New Year to the whole management team. Chandra, already this question has been asked multiple times, but I still like to dwell a little bit on that. Although 4% on digital is a good, very good growth, given you know retail doesn't spend so much and other things taken into account. But if you see some of the international players, although we don't know their exact organic inorganic breakup, they have been reporting much much higher growth, although again quarters are not exactly apple to apple comparable, on a much bigger base. So what is your view? Are we was this just a seasonal or a quarterly blip, means 4% in spite of being good, but it could have been much better probably. So do you see that, you know, at 13.7% revenue, it has reached a number where probably a year-over-year growth of 20% or likewise number is what we should expect, or you think the number could be much higher? I'm not asking for a specific number, but I'm just asking the direction. Given the fact that digital also is, deals are also increasing in size as we are moving ahead. So I guess from few very small million-dollar deals to, I would guess now it is a reasonably better size. So if you can throw some light on that.
Sandeep, I think digital as a business will continue to grow very rapidly to the extent that most of the business you do will become digital at some point in time. So we need to, currently we are at 13.7% or whatever, then this number will keep going up. At some point in time we will need a different metric, because this is not the metric by which you can continue to measure, because everything will become digital at some point in time. In a very weak quarter like Q3, I think 4% sequential growth in digital is pretty good. I would take it. I would always take it.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah of CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Happy New Year to the management. Chandra, the first question is in terms of the growth in the traditional outsourcing. So if you look at the revenue ex of digital, the growth has been decelerating. So last quarter it was close to 2%. This time it is declined. So is it that apart from the cloud impact, is there an agile methodology even being applied in some of the annuity business where clients are asking that you just maintain what is core rather than maintaining the whole system architecture? Is there any kind of such trends are emerging?
Well, I think agile is being adopted big time across the board in all service lines, and we have a very good push on agile. But to answer specifically to your question, it's also primarily due to the furloughs and the rains impact that you see, the slowness in this quarter in the traditional business.
Okay. And second, in terms of the Chennai impact, though we are not able to quantify, but if one has to say that there is an impact even for a project base or a discretionary projects which got impacted, is it fair to say that those revenues can be recouped in the fourth quarter?
See, I think, you know, as I said, there are multiple factors, five, six of them. I don't want to be splitting each one of them and giving a percentage point and say that what can be recouped, what can not be recouped, and some of it will get recouped depending upon whether they are project based and then when it will end next quarter, I mean the current quarter, and some of it will not. So I would rather not start to give so much minute details and try to quantify that.
Fair enough. And just on the digital, I agree that 4% growth in a December quarter is good, but it has decelerated from 9 to 10% of the earlier quarter. So is it what the management has anticipated at the start of the quarter, or something has gone wrong in the digital apart from retail, which we have said?
I think it is playing out as we have researched. I don't think there is any. There has been no surprise there.
Okay. Thanks very much and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Viju George of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. Chandra, I think in the last quarter, you had mentioned that the order book is, as of the end of that quarter, is 30% higher than your prior all-time high order book. I'm just trying to figure out how this translates into a lift in revenue growth going forward, particularly given the buoyancy of the order book.
So I think the... you know, the order book is a multi-year order book, as you would understand. And all of those order books have to translate to wrap-ups. So it will play out as we go into the future in the subsequent quarters.
So are you suggesting therefore it need not translate into a lift in the coming 12 months is the way to read it because it's a multi-year phenomenon?
Yeah. All the order book is a multi-year phenomenon, no order book, because when you do a deal, if it's an outsourcing deal, it could be for 3 years, it could be 4 years, it could be 5 years. If it is a project deal, the project deals could be within 6 months, could be 3 months, could be 1 year. So the entire revenue of the order book will not be realized in 12 months.
Sure. And the other question I had was really on Chennai, not to quantify it, but I'm just looking at this press release of Cognizant that has just come out, and they've clearly said that they've largely been able to mitigate the impact because of business continuity planning. So how does this change between vendors? I mean, you've clearly called out a material impact on that. Is there something different across various vendors in terms of business continuity planning that is enabling them to mitigate this to various extent?
I think I can't comment about other companies, Vijo, but the way it works is that business continuity plan is to be enforced on mission-critical applications where you are keeping the systems live immediate basis. When you are doing projects, when you are doing maintenance work or development work across customers in large numbers in a city like Chennai for all our global customers, and those employees are not going to come for 5 days or 6 days, whatever be the number of days they are affected. Some of them may have gone out of city during that time and they may come back. And that will be caught up subsequently whenever it has to be caught up. So the business continuity plan is to ensure that all the mission critical applications, the support, production, operations of the customers are maintained. That's the way the business works.
Sure. Thank you and all the best for 2016.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manik Taneja of MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. My question was with regards to the performance in Europe. If you could give us some sense in terms of how you're seeing demand across the different markets in Europe, because we've continued to see a moderation even in local currency terms in terms of your performance from the geography.
No, I think, you know, I think overall I have communicated that the demand environment in Europe or US, etc., remains positive, and we are still getting all inputs from the customer budgets. So I would like to wait for a few more weeks, and probably next time I talk to you, I'd like to quantify how the year is going to be, rather than try to give you region by region, country by country color right now. Currently, I have no negative news. What I've heard so far is that things are looking positive. Customers are not cutting budgets, but we need to wait and see for all the inputs to come in.
Thanks, Chandra. The second question was for Rajesh. We've seen about a 60 bps sequential increase in our SG&A expenses and a significant absolute increase in our employee costs as part of the SG&A line element. If you could give us some sense, is there a one-off cost in that?
In fact, almost all the SG&A increase in percentage to revenue terms has come from the employee cost line item. You would not see it in any other line item.
Sure.
Pretty much reflects our utilization numbers that you would have seen. We have utilization has decreased by between 1 to 1.5% depending on with trainee, without trainee. And also it has some amount of impact due to the specific events that we spoke about. Non-billable hours get booked under our SG&A head. We carry the bench on SG&A. So that's why the bulk of the cost is in that people cost.
Sure.
Thank
you.
Some amount of one-off, but and the utilization is also impacted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ravi Menon of Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. First thing, Chandra, are you seeing decision-making happen quicker in traditional deals, especially the U.S.? So, you know, we've been hearing about, how traditional deals are making a comeback in the U.S. and, the pipeline is looking good. Is that something that you see as well?
No, I have said that the U.S. looks very positive, but from a 2016 point of view, we are still gathering, or 16-17 from our point of view, we are still gathering inputs, and so far what we have heard are positive, and we have not heard anything negative, but we would like to take a few more weeks before we consolidate and make our plans.
Great. If you could give a little bit of color, you know, either vertical wise or like what kind of service it was in India that got affected, or whether it was, you know, one customer or more than that, that would be great.
Our India domestic business is small. It's very fragmented business, multiple customers. So we've had an impact in a very diversified base. It's not one big projects or anything like that. So I can't give any.
All right, good.
So yeah.
Great, thanks. I have one final question for Ajay. You know, how many campus offers are you rolling out for FY17, and you know, how much is the ratio of joinees to offers that you've seen so far over FY16?
What we had announced earlier was 45,000, and that is what we will be doing.
Alright, and so would the joinees ratio, would it be the same as about 70 to 73% as last year, or higher than that that you've seen this year?
No, we are from the joinee ratio point of view. I think it will be somewhere very close to what we have been having earlier, around 70 to 73%. Yeah.
Alright, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pankaj Kapoor of JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Chandra, I had a question on digital. How are you seeing the client discussions evolving on their digital spend? Are we seeing pipeline moving into the larger size engagements and more downstream kind of work? Or is it still concentrated in the smaller size, shorter duration projects? So that was my first question.
I think, Pankaj, the total size of the digital engagements is consistently increasing. But the way these engagements get done is a large chunk of budget allocated within the company, but a number of small projects. Don't be like you sign a huge, large contract which is big size. Yes, you will have visibility to the budget, but the budget is done, is implemented through multiple projects.
Okay. And my second question is on our acquisition strategy. I mean, your peers have been relatively more active in organically in terms of building their digital portfolio. So any thoughts here, how you are approaching it, and is valuation the only reason, for example, which has been constraining us here?
I think it's not a valuation issue. I think we, as I said, we have made significant investments in digital. Acquisition is one form of investment. If you look at the digital learning platform, that's a very significant platform, and that's constantly being enriched with a huge number of digital learning programs. Then we have launched a lot of digital platforms, and all those platforms are getting traction. I already called out a number of them. Apart from Ion Assessment, then we have Chroma, our HR platform, our procurement platform, which is TAP, and our Intelligent Urban Exchange platform, which is Smart City platform, our Customer Insights platform, our digital merchandising platform, Optimera, and our digital automation platform, neural automation platform, Ignio. I think we have put in a lot of effort over the last few years, and all these platforms have been launched one by one now, and all of them are getting traction. Even in this quarter, we have been in each of those platforms, and we have set up digital studios in different parts of the world. So there's a significant amount of investments going on. Acquisition is something that we'll keep looking, but it's not a valuation issue alone. Sometimes it's a valuation issue, sometimes it's a fit. So whenever we think it's the right thing, we'll buy it. We don't have to do something in because we just have to do something. So I think there is no absolutely lack of commitment from us. We fully recognize digital is a big opportunity, and we called it out longer than anyone else. And we are given initial indications of doing about $5 billion over the next few years, and we will do significantly better than that. We have the cash, there is no issue, and we'll keep looking. When there is the right time and the right opportunity comes, we'll do it.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Padmanabhan of Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Chandra, from an India perspective, do you think that the kind of declines that we saw in this quarter, do you expect that to continue going forward, or do you expect some sort of bounce back or stabilization going forward? Second thing is, if you can give some color in terms of what's driving that weakness, is it government contracts or what is it?
See, from an India point of view, it is nothing that is it's a one-off, but it has been volatile for every now and then we have had this issue. It's not the first time that it has been volatile. It has been volatile once in several quarters, and it's not one large contract. It's multiple clients. But this time the impact that we saw is much more than what we've seen before, and also what we anticipated. But we don't expect that it will repeat immediately. Hopefully it doesn't repeat, but after a few more quarters it repeats, then we've got to watch out for it.
Sure. And the second thing was with respect to Diligenta. Do you think that, Diligenta and insurance per se can have as much an offsetting impact on BFS growth going forward as much as we saw this time?
I'm not able to understand your question.
What I was asking was, if you look at Diligenta, it is sort of, eaten into the growth of BFS quite significantly this quarter. Do you think that, that kind of significance will continue going forward into the next, because you were talking about it sort of bottoming out, or sort of at least in the next quarter? Do you think that it will accelerate and be a further headwind to BFSI growth?
Well, I think Diligenta should bottom out end of Q4. I think after that, from sequentially, I don't anticipate it being a headwind. And in case if you're able to win some deals, then it can be, on that platform, it can propel growth. But at this point in time, I expect it'll bottom out in Q4, and after that, I don't think it'll remain as a headwind.
Sure. But do you expect the extent of the hit that we saw this quarter to continue? What I'm trying to understand is, from a BFS growth, this quarter has been weak primarily because of Diligenta. Do you think that it can be as strong to offset the growth in the rest of BFS going into the next?
So I think, as I said, we have one more quarter of it in
Q4. Sure. And lastly, from our package implementation business, what are the trends there? Is it that because of the shift to the cloud, you are seeing a hit in terms of existing projects, and there's a churn within that business, and that's why the multi-quarter sort of weakness there? Or do you expect that to continue as a trend for the industry, or do you think that at some point you should actually see those cloud implementation actually outpace growth and actually add to be more accretive to growth in that space for you?
I think the cloud implementations will gain more momentum, not only in the SAP Oracle space, but there are a number of cloud implementations in many other areas like HR, like sales, and many other areas, marketing cloud, and so many other areas. Cloud platforms are emerging, and that should pick up momentum going forward.
Sure. So that segment that we report as consulting, S&EAS, do you think that it'll actually, the whole segment can actually start growing once this picks up? Is it a reasonable size to really drive growth in that segment?
Yes, it'll pick up growth. It'll pick up growth going forward.
Sure, fair enough. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankur Rudra of CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the follow-up. The question I had was, healthcare was relatively strong this quarter. I was wondering how you're thinking about this going forward, given the lot of M&A we've seen in the sector. Do you think that might slow down?
Yeah, I think the life sciences, our exposure in the life sciences and healthcare is predominantly in life sciences. We have a smaller pie in the healthcare segment and a larger pie in the life sciences segment. And the life sciences healthcare business has done extremely well for the past so many quarters. And this quarter, it has done 4.1% on a sequential basis. But if you take Q2, if you take Q1, if you take earlier quarters, it has done very well. So I believe that our healthcare, the life sciences segment will continue to do very well. And we feel that the base at which we are operating in the healthcare segment, which is predominantly payer-based, where a lot of mergers have happened, I think we should continue to do well, primarily because it's a smaller pie in the overall portfolio.
So you don't expect any headwind in that side of your portfolio, maybe because the clients you're present in?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. The other thing I wanted to get your thoughts on was, you know, there's been a significant amount of increase in the extent of the immigration rhetoric and several bills filed over the last quarter. Also, there's been a visa fee increase. Do you think over the next 12 months, till the elections are out, customers may react to this increase in the noise levels that might impact their near-term vendor choices till this dies down? And also, if Rajesh could highlight what the impact of the visa fee hike could be on your numbers for margins next year.
Ankur, we don't think so. We don't think so. I think the protectionist tendencies will be there as long as there are joblessness and also the election situations. And this is something that we factor in. We have to handle it. So it's more important to see what's our delivery model. How do we make it less dependent on visas? Those are the questions that we are working on. But in near term, I don't see an impact in the way we are discussing projects with customers. And on the cost point of view, you know, based on what we do currently, there will be an impact upwards of 25 million, and it depends on the on an annual basis, and how much it goes to depends on what delivery model we use. That's something that we've got to see.
All right, thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Vibhor Singhal of PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. My question was majorly on the digital development platforms that we are seeing. So, of late, we have seen IBM come up with platforms like Bluemix, on which they offer support for application development. So, just wanted to get your feedback on, basically, have we seen some kind of attraction or inquiries from our existing or prospective clients in terms of our capabilities on those platforms? And are there kind of these kind of platforms which are gaining traction and they might or are currently posing a threat to our traditional IT services business?
See, from the point of view of cloudification, I think there are multiple stacks. I think IBM Bluemix stacks is there, and then you also have Cloud Foundry and, you know, EMC stack, and, you know, there are multiple options. Yes. And customers will definitely look at their infrastructure and have a strategy to move to a hybrid cloud, which is both private on-site, on-premise as well as optimized, as well as public cloud infrastructure. That is a big opportunity. On top of that, all the applications have to be migrated. We have invested significantly in all these partnerships.
Okay.
And all the different types of services that we can bring to bear, both at the infrastructure layer and at the application layer, and also at migrating customers to enterprise cloud platforms layer. There are three different plays for us.
Right.
And are both in the partnerships and skill building, we have very, very significant investments and all the capabilities we have built.
So my question was more on the demand side. So are we seeing significant amount of, let's say, uptick in the inquiries about these platforms, or is it still early stage?
These are under discussion with many clients.
Okay, fair enough. Fine. So my last question is majorly on the competition that we might be facing in terms of our, let's say, specifically analytics and mobility domain, if I can speak about. So are we facing any kind of significant competition from small startup companies based out of, let's say, Silicon Valley, or maybe large companies like Palantir or maybe Nuvis? Are these companies, have they got any standing vis-a-vis the digital enterprise solutions that these guys offer? Or is it just the noise that we keep hearing about these guys?
I think small companies have got a niche and they've got a role to play in customers, because it's not that everything can be done by one company. So small companies focused on specific areas have got a niche services to offer, and they are present in those situations.
And so what would be their, let's say, value proposition against us? So, I mean, on what basis do they compete against companies like, let's say, TCS, Accenture, or the big guys? Is it because they come from a specialist kind of a background, they have a niche in that domain, or is it on pricing that they also compete with us?
No, it is not a question of they're competing with us. I think there are specific areas in which the customers may want to use them. It's not a price issue or anything, and it's just each one of them have got a different capability.
Okay.
And they may be present only in that area from the overall point of view, you may think it's a small area, because since they are startups, and even $500 million project can be very significant for them.
Right.
They have their role to play. I wouldn't see them as a competition. I think in those situations, some of them we very strongly collaborate. So it's not that we have to compete with everybody.
Okay.
And when we're delivering a large scale digital transformation program in specific areas, we sometimes partner with these companies, and that's the way it will be. That's fine.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hitesh Das of Access Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Chandra. One question. So FY16 growth, the company has seen some challenges in certain pockets. But would like to know, on a medium-term three-year perspective, how do you see revenue growth panning out given the size of the company and ongoing technology change we are seeing?
So that's someone to asking for guidance, and I don't give guidance. But having said that, I mean, I've given enough statements to say that all our industries have, even in a seasonally weak quarter, have shown positive growth to varying degrees. And I also told you about the three major headwinds I talked about and the status of those businesses. So I believe that digital transformation is leading to many opportunities, and I believe that we have a great opportunity in front of us. And I will leave it at that. I won't be able to give you more sharper comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ruchi Burde of MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question has been answered.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dipesh Mehta of SBI Cap Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, I just want to understand about growth trajectory from the beginning of year. Can you help us understand when the year started and now where we are? We have seen some kind of deceleration in overall growth. Some of the factors you already alluded, but if I want to understand from how it was against the expectation when year started, if you can provide some colors about the year, the way it panned out for us.
I think, you know, I have said it multiple times. Primarily, the impact happened in three headwinds. We mentioned it between Latin America, Japan, and Diligenta. And then during the oil crisis situation, we also said the energy vertical, we are facing headwinds. So those are the three or four things which came as things that we needed to take care of during the year as we traverse through quarters. And that's what you've seen.
Yeah, now in out of this...
You can see the collective impact of that reflected in our overall growth rate as opposed to last year's growth rate. If you look at these numbers and if you factor in, you will see what the impact it has caused as far as the constant currency is concerned. And on top of that, for dollar, you need to take into account the cross currency numbers you said. So you can add it up. It's not difficult to see where we are from where we were last fiscal.
Sure. And just to get clarity on coming period, some of the factors out of, let's say, Diligenta, Q1 onwards, we expect stability. Next quarter is the only quarter where we expect it to again pull down the numbers. The remaining three is largely stabilized in terms of performance?
Well, I said that Latin America is stabilized, and I will need to wait to make commentary on Japan yet. And the energy vertical would have bottomed out by the end of the quarter.
So only Japan would be out of these four would be uncertain. Otherwise, all three is likely to be stable going into next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Madhu Babu of Centrum. Please go ahead.
Sir, could you talk more about Ignio, how you are scaling it? And whether automation as such would lead to some leakage in our traditional revenues?
I think we have talked about it before. I think Ignio still needs to get a lot more clients, and we need to get many more implementations before we can talk about material revenue growth on the platform. But the good thing is that the customers we signed up, we have been able to go live, and it's producing the results. And we are signing, we are having new deal signings at this point in time. But at this point in time, we will see that the new automation will definitely increase the productivity and the revenue per person. But we don't expect at this point in time a huge leakage of revenue.
Sir, and just in the absence of any major acquisition, would we sustainably boost the dividend payout ratio? Because cash is again accumulating on the balance sheet and growth has moderated.
We have had one of the most disciplined dividend payout ratios in the industry, and we will intend to continue on that policy.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashish Chopra of Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. Chandra, given the impetus of digital in the business, just wanted to understand in that case, as far as the order book goes, would the average duration of order book have materially come down? And also, you know, on a more general basis, if you could just throw some color on how the duration of the order books have panned out over the last maybe 4 to 6 quarters, given that now digital is increasingly getting bigger.
I think still we need to wait to be able to say that the order book will be the order book realization cycle to shorten. I think we still have a long way to go because most of the large scale deals are very traditional multi-year deals, and it will continue to be so whether it is in infrastructure or whether it is in maintenance production support. Those kind of deals will be multi-year deal and large-scale deals. And when the order book on the digital side picks significant momentum, maybe you will have more smaller deals which will be realized faster, but the scale of that has to increase. We are not there yet to call it out.
Sure. And lastly, more from a near-term perspective, you did mention that 4Q will be better than the third quarter because of multiple reasons. But also, if I look at 4Q of this year versus the previous years, so we do have one direct tailwind or one direct incrementally better opportunity from greater number of volume hours difference given the time lost in Chennai. So would you expect that there to be maybe marginally or materially better traction versus the 4Q of previous years?
No, I wouldn't say that because, you know, I don't know exactly how you are calculating, but you can't substitute that so many days of lost in Chennai will be replaced with so many days of work. That's not the way it works. I think some of the business that's gone is gone. Some businesses you will recoup in Q4, but not necessarily all the business will come.
Okay, okay. So that's it from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the floor back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for listening. And as I said in the beginning of the call, we've had a very steady quarter against all sorts of headwinds in a weak quarter. For me, the takeaway is the international business has been very credible at 1.1%. Sequential basis, and all our industry segments have shown growth, and the key markets US and Europe has performed very well. We had an unexpected rather significant degrowth in India, but apart from that, I think it has been a very steady quarter, and attrition is a big improvement in the sense that on a quarterly annualized basis we have dropped it by 200 plus basis points. That's a very positive outcome. Our utilization levels even at this level are very credible, and we will continue to improve them. And pricing has been largely stable, and our digital business growth has been very positive. And are all digital platforms, many of them have been launched, and we should look to scale them up as we move into the future. And the TCS Bank has also done well in terms of the client wins, and the client metrics look very positive. So that's where we are to complete Q3. from the future point of view, our initial reactions and feedback that we have received from customers is quite positive, but I would like to get all the feedbacks from customers over the next few weeks before we make some more sharper comments and giving you more color for FY17. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening and have another wonderful 2016.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of TCS, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.